This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 186 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, the worst day of the year, April 1st, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by my partner in crime, Marcus Couch. Now, Marcus, no joke or no fooling going around here on today's episode, but see anything? Did you get tricked? Did you get fooled today by anything?
I did not get fooled. I pretty much avoided social media altogether. Just a couple of announcements that I had to make, you know, including this show, and that's about it. But I do like the VaultPress announcement that backups are now being delivered through pigeons. So that's great.
Yeah, read stores, carrier pigeons. That one was pretty cool because they actually had the VaultPress logo on the chest of the pigeon.
Yeah, that took some work. That was pretty neat. Very good.
Now, of course, you had your standard Google pranks with com.google, and you go there and everything was sort of backwards. I read a funny comment today on that where the amount of effort that goes into creating these pranks at Google could have kept Google Reader alive indefinitely. So I thought that was a zing dinger right there. I thought that was pretty good. But I hate this day of the year. It's, you know, as a writer, as someone who keeps up on the news, I don't know what to believe. I got to take everything with a grain of salt. So I declare April 1st like a national holiday for writers. Just take the day off. Don't even look at the internet. Get out of there. Just ignore it. So with all that said, boy, we have we're going to step out of the norm a little bit. We've had a lot of guests on this show that are sort of in the inner circle, the inner part of the WordPress community. We have an awesome guest on tonight that's sort of outside the WordPress bubble, but he's an awesome entrepreneur. And Marcus, why don't you introduce us?
Sure. To him. Well, our guest today is speaker and social influencer Lewis Howes. And as a former professional football player, Lewis developed his drive and passion for attaining success. But unfortunately, sports injury ended his playing career, but he didn't let that setback stop him at all from living his passion. So overcoming both physical pain and mental depression, Lewis forged ahead to develop some of the most successful and influential online strategies, courses, and webinars for small business owners, including one of my favorites, LinkedInfluence, one of the very first programs out there to promote on LinkedIn. In addition to being a dynamic stage speaker, Lewis has been featured in Forbes, Fast Company, Time, ESPN, and has his own very cool popular podcast, The School of Greatness. I noticed that Lewis also uses WordPress as his platform of choice, so we're happy to have him on the show today. Welcome, Lewis.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Man, you're so successful. Your bio is like a mile long.
I think you guys just extended it for me. That's why it sounded good.
The pleasure is ours. Thanks a lot for being on the show, spending some time with us this evening. So we mentioned in the bio that you use WordPress as your platform of choice. You want to give us a quick rundown on why that is?
Well, I like things that run smoothly and that are effective and are efficient, and I like getting traffic. And I don't know about all the other platforms out there enough to trust them in order to get the type of organic traffic that I want, in order to have the functionality that I want. You know, sometimes I get lured in to, like, see what these other platforms are doing and how they're creating things, but if it's not broke, why fix it, right?
Right. So, and are you using a self-hosted version of WordPress, or are you using WordPress.com?
I'm using self-hosted, yeah.
Okay, cool. So you got all the freedom to use the plugins, SEO plugins, and enhance WordPress.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome. Great to hear that you're on WordPress. So now before we get knee deep into the show and you School of Greatness session gets into focus here, mm-hmm. I wanted to have you define success, or what the word successful means, because I think it's different for everybody. And I just wanted to know from you, how do you define those words?
That's a great question. I think it probably involves different stages of my life. For what comes up for me right now when you ask the question, I would say success to me means on your purpose and serving others while having fun along the way. So if you can be doing the thing that feels like it's your purpose, your calling, your mission, if you're able to make a full-time living doing that, you're able to have a lot of fun, passion, and joy with the people that you interact with, and you're able to serve and help others achieve their dream as well, their calling, then I believe that's success to me.
Sounds like a pretty good definition in my book. I know I've heard people describe success as being able to pay your bills while doing what you love and living the quality, the type of lifestyle that you want to live. If you could do all three of those, that seems to be a good recipe for success for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely part of it. I think what people forget is you know, how much they've been given by so many people to get to where they are, and how many people have served them along the way, starting with from their parents or whoever raised them, to their family members, to teachers, coaches, other students and peers, mentors, just so many people along the way, other colleagues who've given them advice. And I think if people forget that living a life of service, constantly being, how can I first serve myself and make sure that, you know, the whole quote from a flight attendant to put your mask on first. If you're not taking care of yourself first, if you're only serving others, then you're going to be hurting yourself. So I think taking care of yourself first and then coming from a place of, who can I open the door for today? Who can I make smile today? Who can I help solve a problem today? Who can I give some time, energy, money, whatever it may be, to help someone else today? I think that's really a crucial ingredient to that formula of success.
And how early on did that get instilled into you in your life?
I think I've always been like, you know, as a kid, I was probably always like a people pleaser. It was kind of like, you know, I think most of us want other kids to like us and adults to like us. We want to be accepted. And so I think I always wanted to like make other people smile. I probably wasn't always the best at it because I had a big ego growing up. And it's probably been more instilled over the last 5 years since I've been building a business online.
And as you've given and taken care of others, after taking care of yourself, is it something sort of similar to karma? Have you seen the benefits come back in spades?
I mean, I personally have, but I also come from a place of like, you know, I just believe in doing the right thing and giving to others, because one, it's also in a selfish thing. It feels good to give. You know, who doesn't love giving gifts of the pure joy of helping other people? It feels good to make other people happy. So, you know, in some ways you can be selfish about it, but in other ways, I think when you come from a pure intention of, I want to help others because I'm just so grateful for what I have, whether it be something small or you have it all already, we all have something to be grateful for. When you come from that grateful place, I think it's important to show others your gratitude by giving back.
Excellent. So you were at one point a professional football player, and going back to that part of your life, were you sort of thinking, great, man, I'm doing something I love and I enjoy, and I'm probably going to do this for who knows how many years and retire as a professional football player? I mean, what was your mindset back then as you were playing professional football in terms of what you were thinking about your career?
Yeah, I had no backup plan. My whole thing was, I'm going to play football until I can't play anymore. I was just like, that was the only thing I was thinking about. It wasn't, let me build these other skills on the side because I know the day I'm going to retire type of thing, and then I'll be able to jump into something. It was, I'm all in, and I'm going to go until I can't go anymore. And that ended in my first year playing arena football because I got injured. So I quickly lost my dream and my vision because I no longer was able to play that sport anymore at that level. And for about a year and a half, I was, you know, sleeping on my sister's couch, recovering, just trying to figure out what I was going to do next with my life. You know, I was 23 or 24, somewhere around there. And I was just like, okay, now what? I hadn't finished college yet. I left a little bit early to go try out for the NFL draft, and eventually went back and graduated, but still had no clue what I wanted to do in my life. I had no clue how to make money. I didn't know if I was going to work for someone or if I was going to start a business. I had zero clue. I was like semi-depressed, on my sister's couch, didn't have any income, felt worthless because I didn't know how to make money. And I'll be honest with you, one of the first things I did early on, there was a I started getting online and started following bloggers, actually. I remember reading like Chris Brogan and Guy Kawasaki. This is back in 2008. And Tim Ferriss's blog. I remember reading their blogs and just being inspired by the possibilities of what these guys were creating through essentially a WordPress site, through their own blog. And I became like obsessed with learning as much as I could about marketing and business and entrepreneurship and writing and just everything, generating traffic and networking and public speaking. I was just like, I wanted to be a sponge for learning new skills because I saw what some of these people were doing through their WordPress site, and they were creating freedom in their life, and they were impacting others, they were serving others, they were giving great content, and they were making a living from it. And I was like, that seems pretty cool. And I went to a bunch of events early on, but I remember thinking, I've got to connect to the WordPress community. I've got to get connected because I'm so ignorant to setting them up and, you know, managing in the back end. It's just not my skill set I don't think I've ever actually installed WordPress myself. I think I've tried, and I'm just like, I'm not that guy, right? I'm the complete opposite. And I remember thinking, I've got to go find people who know how to use WordPress. And there was like a WordPress camp or something that was in Columbus, Ohio, where I was at the time.
Oh, yeah. WordCamp Columbus.
WordCamp Columbus, yep. And I think it was 2009 when I went there. Maybe it was 2008, I forget, but I remember reading about it, and I was like, I got to go to this.
I was there at the same one. I went to the first two that they had. It was organized by two gentlemen.
There you go, yeah. Then I probably saw you there, and I remember I remember being like, I just got to go and find someone who can help me set up a site. That's all I knew, and it all kind of started around that time.
Yeah, you went to the right place, a camp, an event where there's nothing but WordPress there.
Exactly.
And so what was that moment like for you when that light bulb went off and you went, I can do this. I can do what these guys are doing. As you're absorbing all this information, what was that turning point for you where you went, I really think I can be one of these guys?
Well, for about a year and a half, 2 years, not much was really working in terms of financial results. I was like meeting a lot of great people. I was going to these events. I started my first WordPress site, and I was like trying things out, but I didn't really know what I was doing. I had no clue. And kind of the aha moment was when I realized that webinars was really an aha moment for me because I was hustling. I wrote a book about LinkedIn and was using LinkedIn and social media, writing content about it on my site and trying to just kind of like build a name for myself, but also delivering content to teach other people how to use LinkedIn to get a job, to build their business, to generate leads and traffic, things like that. And it wasn't until I did my first webinar where an aha moment came and I was like, wow, this is where it's at. When I can leverage my information, create content, and get in front of an audience and then offer a product to that audience. And I realized that's where the potential is, where I could sell something or offer a product or service to an audience. And webinars gave me the platform to get in front of the audience in real time, just like this. You know, this is a webinar essentially. It's a live call. And my blog gave me the credibility and the branding and the content platform, the association, and the community, let's say, to be able to have that credibility to sell.
And what's interesting is that's about the time frame that I first encountered you, because I think I was on one of your very first webinars. It was you and Sean.
Yep.
And you guys had talked that you had just met each other in the same office building or something like that.
Yep.
So that's very interesting because that's about the time that I started to tune into your frequency.
Yeah, 2009.
Yeah. So how did you leverage webinars to your site? What was the main conduit? How did you do that?
I mean, I was using my website to kind of build my audience, to build my email list. And so I was using my site to create content and then using social media to promote that content, driving traffic back to my site to get leads. From there, my newsletter list, I would promote the webinar from my newsletter and get people on it that way.
And so then the webinar had all the links and everything to the product. And
yeah, back to the site. Cycles. Yeah.
Cool. And so what was the velocity of the products when you first started versus when, I assume you didn't do webinars straight off. I mean, you probably had to make the product and try and just sell it off your site first.
Well, it's interesting because I actually did a webinar before I had a product. And
wow.
I had a LinkedIn book that I was hustling around the country hosting these LinkedIn events. I was basically trying to do what Twitter was doing, which was tweetups at the time, but I called them LinkedIn meetups. And I would get 300 to 500 people to show up to these live events, kind of networking events, in the middle of a week. And I was selling these, LinkedIn books for $10 a pop. I would, schlep them around the country. It was just a lot of work and a lot of energy and hustle to do these events. And I was like, there's got to be a better way. So I had this opportunity to do my first webinar. This guy named Joel Tom introduced me to it. And he brought me on his webinar and said, hey, I want you to teach LinkedIn for about an hour to my audience. And then at the end, offer a product that you can sell that's around LinkedIn training that can help more people with advanced training. And then he would take a commission based on those sales because it was his audience. So I put together this presentation. I did my first live webinar. I had no clue what I was doing. I'd never done a webinar before. I was 25, I think, at the time. And was terrified out of my mind. I'd never spoken in front of an audience before. I didn't have a product, but I had great content because at the time, I'd been doing LinkedIn training for like a year and a half, and I was so confident in my knowledge of the platform because I was spending about 6 hours a day on there. Like, I would, if there was a competition, a tournament of like LinkedIn people who had the most knowledge on LinkedIn, like I would have won the tournament. It was like no contest in my mind. I had such a big ego at the time too. I was like, I'm so confident. I know more than the people at LinkedIn know. That's my mindset at the time. But I could back it up, and I was able to show people a lot of results through kind of the tips that I would give them. And it really wasn't that hard. I mean, it's a very simple, basic site in the first place, so it's not like you have to be a rocket scientist to know it. So at the end of this presentation, I offered an advanced LinkedIn training, which essentially was going to be a couple more live presentations, live webinars the following week. And so I said, okay, guys, here's a PayPal link where you can sign up for this advanced training if you enjoyed this free training that I just gave you guys. And I think I sold it for like $150 or something. And I said, you get nothing now. I'll send you an email with a link to another webinar that I'll give you guys in a week. But sign up here. So they didn't get anything except for the promise that I would send them a link to something else later. This is how, like, inexperienced I was. And when I shut the webinar down, I'll never forget this moment. It was one of the most beautiful sights I'd ever seen. I opened up my email. And my entire laptop screen above the fold said, you've received payment on every line in my email. Huh. And there was instantly $6,200 in my PayPal account. And at the time, that was more money than I'd ever made in my whole life, essentially. Yeah. So I felt like I was the richest king in the world. And it was that moment when I did that webinar that I was like, wow, webinars are the key.
And man, then that's a fantastic story.
Thanks. And
then that big aha moment, and then obviously, I don't think you were expecting. I mean, obviously, they were getting nothing. I don't think you were expecting at all that type of reaction. But to open that up and just $6,200, bam, right in your pocket, boy, I mean, that must have been a hell of a moment.
It was amazing, and I was sleeping on my sister's couch for a year and a half. Prior to that, had just moved into my brother's house to pay for a room for rent. I was paying like $200 a month for a room to just rent out of his home. Like, for me, it was a life changer just to experience that. And it solidified all the hard work I've been doing over the last like year and a half with this LinkedIn information.
And just to attest to the success of LinkedInfluence, I used it and got one job out of it. I got up to 2,000 connections, and I still have the largest affiliate marketing group on LinkedIn with over 17,000 members.
Wow. 17,000 members?
Yeah, in the group, yeah.
I was talking heavily about creating your own groups in that course, wasn't I?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's so cool. I did it. I reached out to all the program managers directly. I went into like LinkShare and Commission Junction and actually copied the email address down of everybody that was in was managing all the programs, invited them all to the group, and then it just grew from there. So we have even affiliate networks in Europe and Asian affiliate networks where the program managers are there and they post all their latest offerings, people looking for traffic, people that have offers. It's totally an organic thing. I don't have to do anything now.
That's amazing. And so you would say that was worth going through the training and you've made some money from it then?
Well, beyond getting a job early on when I first moved to California, I had one of those same kind of aha moments as you with podcasting. And luckily, you know, just through the connections that I got, this was, you know, before I was exposed to your content, I became one of the very first to make money as a podcaster and was, I think, one of the first to make it my living. And my aha moment like that, it all came in one moment, just like yours. It was a check for $18,000 based on downloads and sponsorship. And I had that exact transformational experience where it literally changed my life. We were in this like rundown apartment and my wife and I then moved to Laguna Beach, California.
Oh man, that's amazing.
It's the same type of thing. You know, it's just you grind. And then one day you bust through.
It's amazing.
So I wanted to go back to the point where, you know, before this aha moment happens, you're sleeping on your sister's couch. You're from based on what I've read, I would you consider that point that bout of depression and mental illness the lowest point of your life so far? Or I guess it would be among.
Actually a lot of low points through like childhood and different. Stages, but at that time that was probably one of it ended a dream of mine for my entire childhood. Mm-hmm. And that was extremely depressing, and it was emotionally draining, but also like it was physically draining because I was in a cast for 6 months and I couldn't work out, and then I was rehabbing for another year, so it was physically hard, emotionally because my dream was over, and mentally because I just didn't know what I was going to do.
And did you get professional help to battle through that, or was it self-perseverance? Did you find a way to just battle through it?
I guess professional help is my family and mentors and reaching out to friends you know. But I didn't, like, hire a therapist or anything, no.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you found something. Apparently with the LinkedIn issue, you found thousands of other people who were in sponge mode, and you just happened to be the – capital.
Here's the thing that, you know, I look back at that time on my sister's couch and with this injury, and yes, it sucked and it was this huge adversity, but it was also one of the greatest times as well, because it was like I'm completely fresh. Like there's a new stage. I just have to figure out what I want to do next. So even though like it was a struggle, it sucked, I felt like I didn't feel like a grown man because I was just mooching off my family for a couple of years and couldn't afford my own apartment for a year and a half. And even out of all those things, it was still like this. It's like I got to start from completely scratch and reinvent myself. And that was really cool at the same time.
Man, that's just an awesome story to be down in the pits and then just come out fresh, renewed, and kicking ass pretty much.
I appreciate it.
So I saw a photo on your website where your buddies with someone that I personally know in the WordPress community, Syed Balki.
Oh, yeah.
What's your relationship with him, and has he helped you either through mentoring or getting consulting or advice? What's your relationship like with him?
I mean, we've just been friends from, like, you know, going to social media conferences for the last 5 years. And I actually just saw him last week at Social Media Marketing World in San Diego. And we went to Guatemala together last year because we both support a nonprofit called Pencils of Promise. So we were down there building schools for kids. And, he's a really smart guy. Whenever I talk to him, I just feel like I should just go home because
I feel the same way.
He's just really intelligent. I mean, WordPress is already like semi, I don't know. It's a different language to me. You know, I don't speak the language. That's why I hire people to support me with it to create what my vision is. I have a vision for what I want and I can express it, but I can't speak the coding and like the back end stuff that well. And it like hurts my brain thinking about it. So when I listen to him and I talk to him about it, I understand it. I can comprehend it. Like I can, you know, talk the language a little bit, but it's like, he talks on another level to me and I'm like, all right, bro, just, I'm just like amazed by what he does. So.
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about somebody that's highly successful, not only in the WordPress ecosystem, but real estate and outside of WordPress. He's the man. And
he's doing
not
it.
Only is he the man, he's incredibly humble. And if you, he'll stop at any point. And if you just ask him a question, he's more than willing to give you advice or help you out.
Super nice guy. Very nice.
So you've been featured in Forbes, Fast Company, Time, ESPN, all these different lists. Have you managed to stay humble? I mean, I know at one point you said with the LinkedIn you had a bit of an ego, but you could back it up. Do you still have sort of an ego or are you humble with all this popularity now?
I think I'm the most humble that I've ever been right now. I think the LinkedIn stuff, I was just an egotistical guy in general from being, you know, playing football and thinking whatever. And just being a 20-year-old, 20-something, you're egotistical because you think you know it all when you're 20-something or whatever. So at least I did. And I just came from a defensive, like, cocky place for whatever reason. But over the last few years, I've just really, I don't know, people might still think I'm cocky or egotistical, but I really feel the most grounded I've ever been, and I'm just very grateful for everything that I have and that I've created and the people that support me. So I'm constantly, whenever, you know, my girlfriend, my family, they don't really allow me to have a big ego because they check me pretty quickly if I do. And I think it's also, I'm very driven and very focused. And sometimes that may come across as like, oh, what's this guy doing? But, you know, I'm really here to inspire people. And, you know, I'm coming from a place of service, so it's never my intention.
It's great that you have sort of that personal support and checks and balances, because I think, and we've seen countless examples of where sometimes success and greatness can go to someone's head and pretty much cause their downfall.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it never happens to me, and I think I'm pretty confident it won't, just because I come from the Midwest and Ohio. You know, we're pretty grounded people, I feel like, in the Midwest. So
yeah, I'm actually located just south of Cleveland, so I've been nice. A Buckeye, lifelong Buckeye. So pleasure to have another Buckeye on the show.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's not too many, like, I don't know. Well, people from Ohio, we just have grounded roots, I think, and my family is very grounded and. I surround myself with people like that. I don't surround myself with people that are not like that.
And I was such a big fan of finally having sort of like a tech conference with WordCamp Columbus in Ohio, because I always used to say before then, the closest thing we had to a tech conference was a LAN party.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Well, Lewis, one of the reasons, you know, that I wanted to have you on the show is that, you know, your story and your audience and the people that you talk to and help is just like what we have on this show. I mean, they are tech people, they are solopreneurs, entrepreneurs and things. What are the, you know, for the ones out there that are just still trying to, you know, like you did, find your way, what are some of the mistakes that most people make out of the gate that you could maybe, you know, tell them what's wrong now before they get into a bad habit?
I think trying to do it on your own would be a mistake, and not reaching out for, you know, whether it's personal one-on-one mentors or just kind of like these accidental mentors. I think it's such a beautiful thing that I'm just very grateful for the internet, because I was able to learn from so many mentors all over the world without them even knowing I was learning from them. So whether it's reaching out and finding communities of people to learn from, or having friends and family and other mentors that you're inspired by, I just surrounded myself with inspiring people. I didn't care what industry they were in at first. I just wanted to surround myself with inspiring people to see what it was they had, what energy they were putting out there, what they were saying, what they were reading, what they were learning, who they were hanging out with, their habits. So I just wanted to surround myself with those people so I could pick up on those things. And then as I started to find out, like, oh, I actually like this marketing and networking and teaching and speaking, and I like these tools and these things, what are some ways that I can bring them together? And then how can I monetize that? So that's kind of what I would say is, don't try to do something on your own. Allow yourself to find a community and reach out for support.
And so when you bring in the monetization, at what stage should somebody inject that part into it? I mean, you've got to obviously become an expert first.
I think as soon as you – I mean, if someone's going to offer you money in the first day, don't say, no, I'm not ready. I say as soon as you can, start making something. Start – if you're going to offer a service or content or something – at least ask for something. And early on, what happened to me, my first dollars that I made with LinkedIn was a friend of mine just saw my profile. It kept popping up in his feed or whatever, and he kept seeing it because I was just connecting to so many different people, and he saw that I was connected to so many people through his connections. And he just said, hey, man, I'm overwhelmed. I know LinkedIn is something I need to use, but I have no clue what to do, and I don't have the time. Can you come and do an hour or two-hour session and show me how to optimize my profile? And I said, yeah, of course. And at the end of this session, he said, listen, he took out a check and he just gave me $100. And he said, listen, I want you to take this because this has been a huge lifesaver, and I would have never known how to do this, and I didn't know how powerful it was. Within a couple weeks, he got so many clients for his company. He started getting deals. He made these other connections with people. And he was like, this information is priceless, what you taught me. And I would have never known how to do it on my own. Otherwise, of just trying to learn it on my own, it would have taken hours. He was like, you need to charge for this service, and you need to charge a premium. And so I started charging, $50, $100, and then $200, and then $300. And I just said, okay, here's the rate, and people either took it or they didn't, and then I was kind of negotiating along the way, and that's kind of how it started. It's like people had a need. There was a need to learn something, and then I just started teaching them.
So initially it was a one-on-one thing, right?
That's right. And I remember after I did a handful of these profile makeovers on LinkedIn, and I started charging up to $300. And I remember I did this, the last one I did for $300. In the middle of the session, I remember thinking, gosh, I just don't want to do this ever again. Like something came to my heart and was just like, nah, I don't want to do these. Even like $300 was a lot of money for me at the time. I was just like, something clicked where I was like, if I just trade my time for a paycheck like this, I'll never really create the wealth that I want to create. And so I never did another LinkedIn profile makeover after that. And I just was like researching more and more on like, how can I create something else to make money without me having to trade my time for it? And that's when kind of the webinars and digital courses came about.
And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of entrepreneurs make is the trading your time for money thing. They want to be the head chef all the time, but they forget that it's not the head chef that makes all the meals. It's the line cooks.
Exactly.
So you need to make the recipes and do the food costing and things like that and the things that you're good at, and the rest will take care of itself. So in this analogy, it's you created the course, and that took yourself out of the equation as far as time other than marketing it and promoting it.
Promoting and selling it, which was showing up on a webinar. And after I did that first webinar, I became obsessed with understanding webinars and practicing speaking and mastering slide creation and marketing, how to get people on the webinars. And I fixated and threw myself into that information because I saw something that worked and I said, okay, this is it. I'm just going to do this until it doesn't work. And 6 years later now, I'm still doing webinars because it works so well. And I can make, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50 grand a webinar, depending on the webinar. And why do trade my time for a few hundred bucks an hour when I could make 50 grand an hour selling instead?
Yeah. And so what are some of those, obviously, if you've done webinars for that long, you know, webinars is one of those things, it's like a membership site. There are 50 million of them and they all do different things.
Yep.
What, how have you evolved with the platforms of webinars that you use and what do you use now?
Yeah, I mean, I started using GoToWebinar from the beginning. That was my first one. And so I've tried all of the different platforms and softwares, webinar softwares out there. And I still like GoToWebinar as my go-to, no pun intended, go-to platform for running webinars. And I know, you know, there's Google Hangouts and all these other things as well, but for what I'm creating, what I'm doing, it still performs the best. And again, like I said, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But I'm also now incorporating automated webinars. So even though it's nice to go on and make 10, 20 or so grand in sales for an hour or two giving a live presentation, I'm still trading my time for that sale to occur. So in the last 4 months, I've been testing a lot with automated webinars. So driving traffic straight to a recorded video, essentially a recorded webinar, and having a free webinar where I offer my product and service at the end. And that has been a game changer and another aha moment, because if I'm able to remove myself completely from having to show up to speak every time I do a webinar, and I can automate the process, and all I need to do now is create content to drive traffic or buy ads to drive traffic, and that's it, then that's a whole nother level of freedom.
And so, and that's just a video, right? Is that part of the GoToWebinar series, or do you do that
for
just
that,
with the landing
that,
page?
Yeah, for that software, I use what's called StealthSeminar.com, which is you can do live webinars with them, but they're more of an automated webinar platform. So that's what I use for that system.
Cool. Man, it sounds like you're creating a system. You're starting to get so efficient that, no, God forbid, if something happens, you pass away, you're going to be making money in the next realm of reality.
Yeah, I mean, that's the, you know, that's kind of like the, it's still like a lot to figure out, and I'm definitely not, my business isn't perfect, and I've been growing over the last 6 to 12 months, so it's like a whole another learning curve of managing employees and figuring out how to remove myself from that, and you know, just all these new things I constantly get to learn myself. So by no means am I perfect or my business perfect, or if I figured everything out, like I feel like I'm just scratching the surface.
And so along those lines, I mean, as a content creator yourself, podcaster, all that, have you had the chance to check out some of these, and you know, I'll say this in quotes, new, you know, live video streaming apps like Meerkat and Periscope? And,
you know, I was at the social media conference last week, everyone was using Meerkat, and I was like, just, they were throwing me on in front of the phone just to like say hi or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm just like, there's so much that you can get distracted. This is the challenge. Like with webinars too, people are like, oh, there's this new software coming out, so I'm going to transfer from the one I'm using now into this other webinar platform. And then 3 months later, that thing broke, so I'm going to go to this other new one because it's got a new widget. And I'm like, I like to stick to what works and stay focused. And I'm always evolving. Like, you know, I'm on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, and I have a podcast on iTunes, and I'm using Instagram a lot, and I'm using Pinterest a lot. I get a lot of my traffic actually from Pinterest. And, you know, I'm always
wow. –
I get majority of my traffic. The most traffic to my site comes from Pinterest, to believe it or not.
If you were here right now, you'd see my shocked expression on my face.
How do you do that?
Do you write about lots of arts and crafts and palettes and stuff? I mean,
well,
recycling.
Here's the thing. A long story. I'll just make it really short. I've been thinking out of the box about traffic for a long time now, and I realized my site traffic wasn't really growing in the way I wanted it to grow. And so I was like, how can I maximize my time and energy to get more traffic here? So essentially I became part of a team. A couple of friends of mine bought some major, large Pinterest accounts with millions of followers on them in the inspirational, motivational space. And so therefore, I'm on those boards, so I basically have access to like a few million, you know, people. And so every post just drives tons of traffic that I do to these boards. And that's one way to do it.
That's thinking outside the box, man.
Exactly. But the challenge is a lot of people get all excited about these new things. And I know you guys do like reviews and stuff like that. And that's something different because you make money from doing these reviews and testing these things. But most people get on these new things and then they run with it and spend all their energy on that for 3 to 6 months until the next thing comes around. And then they spend all their energy on that for 3 to 6 months until the next and the next. And they never actually build an audience or build momentum because they're never consistent over time. I'm in this for the long haul, and, you know, I'm consistently, unless a platform is, like, taken over, like Meerkat hasn't taken over for me, and Snapchat even, you know, I've gone back and forth, like, 5 times, and I had an account there, then I deleted it, and I'm like, should I go back on? And to be honest, I don't like that the content I create disappears. Like, why do I spend all that energy creating something when it's gone? Right. When I'd rather have it out there so people can always find it and go back and see my body of work. So that's why I haven't really connected with Snapchat yet. But Instagram, it's like a no-brainer. Facebook, no-brainer because it's driving all my traffic to my webinars right now. Twitter, I was on since 2008, and I get tons of tweets every day, so it's great for me to stay connected in that community. Pinterest drives a majority of my traffic. Google Plus, I don't do anything on there. I just post my podcast on there, so I'm not spending any time or energy on there. LinkedIn, you know, it got me a huge email list, and I've got 30,000 connections on there, and I'm able to drive my traffic there, so I use it just to publish my content. So I'm trying to be very strategic about the platforms I spend on, and I'm not jumping ship or trying new things. I'm allowing other people to try new things, and if it gets picked up in a big way, then I may invest some time and energy into it if I can figure out a way to maximize it early on.
So rather than being an early adopter, you're more of a success adopter.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually, when Instagram came out, I actually joined like within the first couple months. I remember a friend of mine was like, oh, this is in beta, check it out, from San Francisco. And I was like, okay, cool, I'll check it out. I downloaded it. And I posted maybe like once every few weeks, like an image, but I never took Instagram seriously until about like 9 months ago, and I've been on it for 4 years. I would just post random stuff like food or whatever, right, just like most people do. And then I was like watching and seeing what a few of these other entrepreneurs were doing, friends of mine were doing, were building these huge audiences, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. All the attention is going here, and I was watching what people were doing during my travels. Every time I went to a coffee shop or on the airport, on the plane, everyone around me, when they were on their phone, were on Instagram. And so I just associated eyeballs with Instagram, and that's all people were looking at. As Facebook became overwhelming for people, and you know, our content from our news, our fan pages don't even get seen in a fraction of the news feed anyways, I was like, people will go through Instagram and stare at this all day right now. So I started to research and follow what all the top people are doing and then connect with people, reach out to them and connect them and ask them tons of questions, add value to them. Then I started building mine and being strategic and testing things. And then I picked up Instagram accounts. I run @success on Instagram, and I run @yoga. So I was researching, like, what are these big names that I could acquire that are going to grow organically without me doing any work? And yoga is at 120,000, and I got it 3 months ago at zero. And it's all grown. It's grown organically because people are tagging yoga in all of their yoga photos. Naturally, driving traffic. This account was a dead account that I picked up. Naturally driving traffic to that account all day long. So I said, this is a way to get free eyeballs for doing zero work.
And well, two things quickly. A, Meerkat's dad, Periscope, is the new successor. It only took a week. And B, do you manage all of these? Do you manage your social media presence on all these different systems and networks yourself? And have you either experimented with or thought about hiring someone else to do it for you? And why or why not?
I'm still managing a lot of the. I still respond to a lot of people myself.
I bet that takes up a lot of your time.
It takes a lot of time. I mean, I extend a lot of my bathroom breaks longer than they should be just to respond to people. But I feel like I want to have my finger on the pulse, and I want the reason I've been able to grow so far to the point I'm at, which isn't that big when I think about it. It's still not that big, but the reason I've been able to grow to the point is because – I believe that I'm responding and available for people to connect with, at least even if I just reply with a smiley face. And it doesn't have to be everyone, but just showing that I'm connecting. And I have a team that creates like the content, that does all my podcast editing, that publishes it, that promotes it out on all my different sites, that creates the images on Pinterest and things like that, and Facebook. And they're posting for me, but I'll still post myself like my personal things, and I'll reply to people.
Well, I think that's incredibly important, is to let all of your followers, your audience, know that Lewis Howes is a real person. Look, I'm interacting with you. Yeah, you get all of my content. You get to see everything I'm doing and pushing, but yes, I am also a real person, and I do have time to respond to you on a personal level. I do think that's a key ingredient for your success, or anyone's success, is to maintain that reality of maintaining that personal relationship with all those people that consider you as an influencer.
Right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, not long ago, I put out this tweet that people kind of freaked out about. I basically said that SEO was dead, search engines were dead, that it's all nobody follows websites anymore. They follow people, and the people that shoot out those links with the cool Twitter cards and the Facebook images and things like that, that's what's winning the day.
Right.
That's what's winning out, because they trust the authority of their friends and use their friends as the filter rather than a Google search.
Exactly.
How do you see this trend growing and continuing of people getting information via social channels versus the traditional search engine route?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I never was able to really figure out SEO. I mean, I would try to do it. I tried to use the plugins, and I still, you know, optimize it to the best I can. But it's like, even if I put all my energy and everything, like, I'm only going to rank in the first page for, like, really long-tail keywords in MySpace anyways. And it's just so much energy and effort for me that I was just like, well, I'd rather just, like, be able to connect with people on a human level and build an audience around that, you know, my personality or my personal brand or whatever, and have people want to come because they like me, not because they're searching for just a how-to link or something, or a how-to article. So, I don't know, because I've never really got into SEO, but I think that it's going to be a lot harder as more personalities come to the forefront as experts in various industries and topics. People are going to be going to those experts, not to... You know, there are some websites like Huffington Post and Entrepreneur.com that they'll keep going to, but other than that, they're going to be going to people, I think.
Well, Marcus, you and I have talked about this before where, yeah, SEO is still important. It's something you should still consider and work at, but it seems like the S in SEO, it stands for social more than search these days.
Yeah. I like that.
And so, and I, that's the thing that, for me, I was an SEO guy for a long time. You know, you mentioned Entrepreneur. I was the director of marketing at Entrepreneur.com. And I was the one that planted the flag in social media for them back in 2007, 2008, and said, you guys really need to pay attention to this stuff.
Right.
And believe me, the corporate guys were like, nope, no way. We're worried about trafficking ads. We're worried about search engine optimization. We're worried about that. And it's funny to see them today
also
using the same stupid account that I signed up for them.
Wow.
And that's the cornerstone of their entire business.
That's hilarious.
And so, I mean, that itself, if you want to be a media property and you leverage yourself socially, or you have an information product, as long as you put your efforts into making great content that people love and people will share, that will trump SEO any day of the week.
Sure, yeah.
Any day of the week. So with all of these things, what, you know, you've got so much going on, and obviously there are some people and services and things that you hire, but how do you manage your time throughout the day?
It's a good question. I mean, you know, I've got a great team, and I've got a great assistant that keeps me on track throughout the day and that kind of thinks ahead for me, so I don't have to stress out about things, or just gets me the things I need and schedules things. So allows me to be creative with my mind on my vision and connected to people as opposed to the things I need to get done. And I think that's where the business actually, that's where my business actually works. And I think in general, business works when your relationships work, whether it be in business or personal or family or whatever. That's when things work, when your relationships work. So I manage it through, I don't know, it may sound weird, but like through my vision. Like I'm so committed to my vision, and it just gives me a lot of energy throughout the day that I'm able to manage all these different moving parts. And luckily I've got a great team that I empower to manage many of the moving parts for me as well.
Yeah, and that holds true, because I've heard often some people will say there are three types of people. You've got your artist, you've got your entrepreneur, and you've got your manager. So it sounds to me like you're artist, then entrepreneur, and you let the management part be handled by someone else.
I mean,
it's only you can be two things. Right?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, when I had like one or two employees, I was able to manage them and do it all. And now as I've got, you know, many more employees, it's or many people working with me, I should say, it's, I could be a great manager, but like it's hard to be them all at the same time and be there for every person's needs when you're trying to create, you know, content and information and inspire people or whatever you're going after. So it's, I'm actually kind of at a crossroads right now. I'm at like growing pains because I'm growing so fast that I'm like, and I was doing it all myself, that now I'm putting people in the place to help manage the team as opposed to me feeling overwhelmed by everyone's needs.
And so when you come up with new projects and new initiatives that you want to do, what's your mapping process? Do you use a project management system? Do you just
write a
napkin and a pen? How do you go about it?
I mean, yeah, I'll write an outline, and then I have a project manager now who's pretty incredible that she's able to flesh it out and get all the pieces together for me. I create the outline, the vision, the idea, and I say go, and she puts it together. So it's pretty nice.
So it sounds like you're at that point where you've done a great job, and you're at an awesome point in your life that you've worked really hard on individually to help get you this far. But now, in order to take the next step to go to the next level, you're going to have, you know, your success is going to be largely driven, yeah, by you, but then by this awesome team you built around you.
Of course, it's all about the team, I think, and we can't do anything great alone, and we need support. So I think the quicker we understand that, and the faster we're able to let go of certain things, I think, you know, myself including, along with a lot of other entrepreneurs, may not feel like anyone else can do it as good as them, what they do. And that may be true in some areas, but if you want to really create something at a bigger scale, at a great level, you're going to need the support of people around you, and you're going to need to empower them.
Yeah, and on that topic, I just want to – Corey Miller, who's the CEO and founder of iThemes, a longstanding product, WordPress product company, he has this awesome African proverb that just it's just awesome. It's sort of the mantra for their company and their business, and it's quote, if you want to go fast, you can go alone, but if you want to go far, you go together. And I think that's just, they've lived by that. I think it's just an awesome proverb to keep in the back of your head. It seems like you're at that point where if you want to go farther in your career, you're hiring this great team so you can all go together.
Exactly.
And Lewis, one thing I've you know, you're on a ton of lists as far as influencers and, you know, online marketing guys in the top 10, 20, whatever. Who influences you?
when I first started out, the thing that really gave me the spark when I was injured, I had this cast on. It was right around Christmas time of 2007. I believe it was 2007. So going into 2008, that Christmas, I got one present that year because my family did like the whole Secret Santa thing. So I got one present. It was for my brother. He didn't even wrap it. He handed me a book. And I maybe read 5 books from cover to cover my entire life to this point, to that point. I was a very slow reader. I was a very poor student in school. I just struggled staying at having the attention throughout class and doing homework. It was just a struggle for me. And he gave me this book, and right away I was fascinated by the concept of the book. And I read the book in 3 days, and I remember thinking to myself, it opened up this unbelievable world of possibilities and inspired me in such a way moving forward. It came to me at the perfect time. And the book was called The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. Yeah. So but I remember saying to myself in that moment when I was reading this book, and then I started going back and reading Tim Ferriss's blog, and I was like so inspired by the information. I was like, this is mind-blowing. I remember saying to myself in that moment, I don't know how I'm going to do this, being on a couch in Columbus, Ohio, with no skills or anything, basically a bum right now. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to become really good friends with Tim Ferriss one day. And I also don't know how I'm going to do this because I've never written anything, nor can I read really. And I was horrible in school, and at this time I hadn't graduated school yet. I said to myself, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but whoever Tim Ferriss's agent is, I'm going to connect with him. He's going to be my agent one day, and I'm going to write a book that inspires millions of people in the way that Tim inspired me through this book and opened me up and gave me kind of a new life. And since then, I've become really good friends with Tim Ferriss. A few years back, we met, and we've been friends ever since. I've had him on my podcast twice. I'm actually coming over to my studio on Friday to record for a third interview. And I became connected to his agent. I found out who his agent was, became connected to him, basically hounded him for years to, you know, connect with me and to work with me. And then finally the time came where he reached out to me and said, hey, it's time we work on a book together. And I've got a book deal now and the book is coming out in October 27th, and he's my agent, and I'm very excited about it.
So, wow, you ended up accomplishing all that with no threats involved, just hard work.
I hustled, man, for the last, 5-6 years, man. I've just been hustling and trying to add as much value to people as possible.
It sort of reminds me of Marty McFly in Back to the Future when he says, hey, you know, if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that book was very influential for me in the sense of outsourcing.
Yes, exactly.
Because until I actually heard somebody talking about the applications as to what they outsourced, and my gosh, Tim outsourced, you know, even people to go through his dating sites and everything.
Exactly.
That was groundbreaking for me, and that's what kind of turned the corner for me. And then I know that recently you had somebody who I've worked with a couple of times, Jack Canfield, on the show.
Yeah, he was awesome. I mean, he's definitely an inspiration. I mean, he's an inspiration. Tony Robbins is a big inspiration for me. I got to interview him as well, and I've been to his event. And just his energy and his presence inspires me, and what he's been able to create and sustain over 30 years, whether you like the guy or not, it's impressive. His level of passion over the years and his consistency, and it's just like mind-boggling how he does it. So, but those are definitely some people. I'm also really inspired by The Rock, believe it or not. The Rock and Will Smith.
And Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, man, that guy is just like good, positive energy and like unapologetic, wants to bring smiles to people's faces, and just does great work, I feel like. I mean, obviously there's some movies he's done that are kind of like suspect, but he just consistently performs to his best level, and it gets better all the time. So I like guys like him and Will Smith. They're just like, and they create like inspiring work, and they make you feel and make you think and make you love and be inspired. And that's the type of people that I'm excited by.
We've got a gentleman in the WordPress community who pretty much matches all of those qualities you just described, and his name's Chris Lemma. And he's a gentleman that has a lot of experience, you know, with and he shares that experience. Anytime you talk to him, he'll stop whatever he's doing, he'll talk to you, and he's just one of those guys that loves to give because he's received so much and he's worked so hard, but he loves to give out information, he loves to just try and help and uplift people, likes to make you laugh. So we have actually quite a few of those. Syed Balki is another gentleman.
Yeah.
In the WordPress community. So the WordPress ecosystem itself even has quite a few of those individuals. And
very cool.
It's a really cool thing to have those people in the community.
Wow, that's really cool.
Now, let's see. Before we wrap it up here, you do a podcast here. It's called The School of Greatness. Why don't you tell the audience, A, what that show is all about and how they could subscribe to it and when it comes out?
Yeah, The School of Greatness for me was an idea I had a couple of years ago when I had sold a company and was really trying to figure out what my next move was going to be and like what I really wanted to work on that inspired me. Because I was creating these LinkedIn courses and social media courses and that was fun for a while, but then I kind of got like, you know, it wasn't inspiring to me anymore. And I was like, what really lights me up? What really gets me fired up? And I realized it was having conversations with really successful people, people that I was inspired by on all walks of life that I wanted to learn from, and asking them the questions that no one ever asked them, and asking the questions that I'm really interested in hearing the answers to. So that's what the School of Greatness is. It's a show that comes out right now. It comes out 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 2 longer-form interviews on Monday and Wednesday. And then I've got this new thing called 5-Minute Fridays, which is a inspirational message on Fridays for about 5 minutes long. And you can get it at iTunes.com/School of Greatness, or just go to my website, Lewis Howes, or search School of Greatness in iTunes.
And I'm a new listener to your show, but have you had Matt Mulloway on your show before?
I have not had Matt on there. Not yet.
Okay, not yet. Well, that'd be quite the show to have on. Another entrepreneur type, 30-year-old youngin to have on your show. That'd be a pretty good show. And based on some inside info I have on Marcus and some of the projects he's doing, there's a possibility that you know, you could have him on your show in the School of Greatness here in a few years or so, or even sooner than that, you know. See, Marcus, based on the things I know about you, you have a lot in common with our guest here.
Well, I should, because I've followed him for so long, and Lewis doesn't know that he influences me in a lot of things.
I appreciate that.
And, you know, this goes back 6-7 years when I've, you know, like I gave you the example of you and your partner, Sean, when you guys had first met. That's kind of when you blipped onto my radar. And I was working at Entrepreneur Magazine at the time, trying to find my way out of it, you know, trying to be on my own. So I took what you taught me. I took what I learned in 4-Hour Work Week. And at the point where I was making 5 times my employment salary on side income.
Wow.
I got to march into the CEO's office and say, I'm not interested in working here anymore because there's no way you're going to pay me 5 times the salary.
It's amazing.
So I then took that and did a lot of agency work, started coaching a lot of people, worked with huge companies, Farmers Insurance, all of that, and basically directed their entire marketing team. But it's nothing that I came up with. It's things that, you know, just little bits and pieces here and there of different influencers and different courses and informational products and things that I picked up along the way. So, I mean, as Jeff has sort of alluded to, that's sort of the direction that I'm headed in as well. And not sort of, I mean, I am. And so for me, it was important for me to have you on today, specifically because you're one of my influencers, and I know that the community at large can benefit a lot from what you've got to say.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks so much, man.
And before we wrap it up here, I don't want to – you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to because it's a little personal. But I was just wondering, are you married?
Not married.
Okay, because if you were, boy, I'd like to know how you'd accomplish all that being married. You know, you know, it would make for another interesting aspect of this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other conversation, that's for sure.
Lewis, man, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule. I know you're a busy man, as we've alluded to, but I think it's your story is a great one. You had this childhood dream of playing professional football. You accomplished it, and then it was taken away from you. You had this really downer part of your life, and then the light bulb went off. You rediscovered an opportunity to reinvent yourself, and now, you know, you're still learning, you're still growing, but boy, it seems like, you know, at times I must feel like you're on top of the world, unless, I don't know, I mean, that's how I'd feel.
You know, there are a lot of times I feel very blessed and grateful, and, you know, I'm constantly expressing my gratitude, but I'm always, you know, I feel like as long as my vision and dream is not complete, I'm going to keep hustling and keep serving others, and that's what keeps me going and makes me excited every day to get up and take action and create great work.
So if people want to keep tabs on you, where can they do it? Obviously, there's like 20 different social networks, but I mean, what's your main source of giving out information as to what you're doing?
I mean, my website, lewishouse.com. You can get on there or download the podcast, School of Greatness, or I'm on a lot of social networking sites, the top, you know, four or five ones I'm on often, and you can follow me there or connect with me anywhere at Lewis House.
Fantastic, and man, it'd be cool if at wherever you're located. I think, are you in California now?
In Los Angeles.
Oh, Los Angeles. So I'm pretty sure that there's a WordCamp LA. And it happens every year. And if you want more information about it, I can send it to you.
Okay.
Because there's a website on there that has the schedule. But it would be really cool if A, you attended WordCamp, but B, you submitted an application to speak on content marketing or being an entrepreneur and sort of telling your story within maybe condensing down to 45 minutes, because that's usually how long the session is. But having your type of stories in that at a WordCamp would be really cool.
Yeah, I think I actually spoke at WordCamp back in 2010, maybe in Columbus, but or whenever that was. But yeah, I'm open to a lot of things right now with my book coming out. So any way I can promote that, I'm open to it.
Fantastic! Again, thank you very much for being on the show, Marcus. Any closing words before we let Lewis go?
No. Well, if you want to make that WordCamp Orange County coming up in June, both Jeff and I are actually going to be there.
I'll let you know for sure.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Lewis.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Mark, Marcus and Jeff.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. So another awesome interview. Hope that inspires a few of you out there to know that you could be in the pits of, you know, you could be at a pretty low point at your life, but, you know, somehow keep a positive attitude and, you know, something, you could come across something where you could reinvent yourself. The light bulb goes off, and next thing you know, you're off and running.
Yeah, and another valuable lesson that Lewis dropped on us here was stick with what works, right? You don't change plugins every time a new Twitter plugin comes out. You don't change your SEO plugin once a new one comes out. Stick with what works and what works for you, and don't get distracted.
And another key point I took away is don't fix it if it ain't broken, you know? So that was another key takeaway. So with that, we don't have, you know, I don't even want to go into, well, we got a few news stories to talk about. The first is that Envato has launched a content writing service. So now you can hire ghostwriters, apparently. I think that's pretty much what their service is. I think you can even hire Kalis, the founder of Envato. You can hire John O'Nolan to write an article for you. In fact, I think Kalis has already earned a couple $100 from people hiring him to write articles on their website. Marcus, as you said, we're going to replace, we have a big announcement here. WP Tavern is now going to outsource all of its writing to Envato. We're done. I'm taking myself out of the equation. I'm going on a vacation. I'm going to get the paycheck, but somebody else is going to write for me. So,
yeah.
Of course, April Fool's. It's still April Fool's. Don't believe me. It's a joke. Trust me. It's not happening. You can't replace me. No way. And let's see, we already covered the Vault Press story. And, well, how about this? GoDaddy has gone public. They went public today. Everybody was wearing those weird GoDaddy finger hats at the New York Stock Exchange. They got the ring and the bell. And the stock traded at about $26.
Opened and closed at $26.
And let's just say they made a ton of money. Let's just put it that way. So if you're, I don't know, if you want to own a piece of GoDaddy, you can through shares. But they are now public, and there's a lot of money exchanging hands right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't use that as a brag point when you call customer support either. Hey, I'm a shareholder.
I might get a share. I might get just one share just so I can do that. That'd be pretty cool. Don't you? This is how you treat your shareholders, and I have one share. That'd be pretty cool. Let's see. WordPress. One thing I wanted to throw out there is WordPress Beta 4 may have been tagged and released today. If not, it's going to be tomorrow. If all things go well, we might see a release candidate either later this week or next week. But the release of WordPress 4.2 is around the corner. It's going to happen this month. So we'll probably update you next week on what's going on with the development process of WordPress 4.2. But it's right around the corner. So just keep tabs on that. Of course, you can find all your information on wptavern.com. And that's really all there is for news to talk about today. Today is April Fool's. I hate days like today. It sucks for being a writer. But, Marcus, we have looks like we have another 5-star iTunes review. So tell us who gave it to us and what they said.
Yes, we certainly do, and we would like to thank that reviewer. Josh EBY is the name. He gave us a 5 stars, and the title was Great Source for WordPress News, Interviews, and Tricks. The review is as follows. Marcus and Jeff do a great job of covering WordPress news and upcoming events. They cover a wide range of topics related to WordPress and hold some great interviews packed with information. If you want to keep up with what's going on throughout the WordPress community, give it a listen. Thank you so much, Josh.
And thanks a lot, Josh. And for anyone else out there, please, if you could, open up iTunes and submit a review. It could be 1 star. It could be 5 star. Just tell us, give us an honest review and rating of what you think about this show. We appreciate all reviews.
Yes, and a link bribe if you want to put your website in the review. We'll mention it on the show.
Yes, we will. And with that, why don't you give us your plug-in picks of the week?
I feel like we need a theme song for the plug-in picks of the week, but we're not Dradcast. Anyway, Auto Menu from Pages is a new plugin that generates a WordPress navigation menu that matches your page order and hierarchy. So instead of just adding one page and then the subpage and then putting a child under that and under that, this actually automatically updates to reflect any changes you make to your pages, so it's always current. So you can put the parent page up in your menu through this new Auto Menu from Pages selection, and then every time you make a new page under that, it automatically updates the menu for you.
That's not too shabby of a plugin. And I guess if you used another plugin out there, I think it's called Simple Page Ordering, where you can drag and drop your pages to rearrange them that way, those two plugins would complement each other, I believe.
Yeah, I don't even know if you'd need that, because this thing, well, you'd set it in your regular menu hierarchy in the menu setting, and then this would auto-update from there. So
oh, okay.
It might not be needed, but who knows. Next one is called Remove WP Branding, and that's pretty self-explanatory. It replaces the WordPress branding on the login page and the admin dashboard. It allows you to replace the logos, links, and text with your own. And also, you are allowed 2 new widgets within the dashboard itself, which is pretty cool. So you can, if you're an agency or something like that and you want to put your own news in there and completely replace the WordPress hierarchy as far as the branding, this is the plugin for you.
Who doesn't like a fresh, white-labeled WordPress?
Yeah, no kidding. Now, finally, I've got one for all of you musicians out there. This is something that I've never thought of anything like this, and I'm not a musician, so you can't quote me on how the accuracy of this is, but this is called ABC Notation. And what it does is it basically allows you to create your own sheet music. So you put in valid ABC notification in between some short codes, like you give it the notes, whatever the notes are, and you within the short code you tell it the timing and all the other musical terms that I don't know, and it generates a line of sheet music for you. So it shows the little notes and what all the notes are. So I thought that was very interesting. I'd never seen anything like that as far as something that's just allowed to take some text within a short code and generate music from it. It'd be nice if you could get something to maybe play it. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. You know, you type in the music and this sort of shows it, but maybe it does an animation or uses the built-in media player in WordPress and it goes ding, 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 or something crazy like that.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. So that's called ABC Notation, and those are my plug-in picks of the week.
That's, I got to say, man, that's a surprising plug-in. I've never, of course, I'm not in the music business, so I've never thought of even looking for a plug-in like this, but I'm going to give this one a try, and I'm going to see how it works and get in touch with the author and find out what his inspiration was for writing this, because that's one of those diamonds in the rough that, you know, of plugins. You know, there's 30,000 plus plugins, but seeing this one that has this unique use case, that's a pretty cool find.
Yes, and it could be definitely used for teaching music or, you know, maybe even artists that want to put their own sheet music out or something like that, a line at a time, or, music these days is just three chords, right? So,
yeah, auto-tune.
If that. But yeah, yes, that's exactly why I wanted to bring it. That's exactly why I wanted to bring it to the table today, is because it seems such a rarity amongst the plugin list that I looked at today.
Awesome find. That's why I call you the plugin guru, the plugin master, or the plugin Highlander. I don't know. It's the plugin something. So cool find. That's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. Do we have a guest scheduled for next week, April
8th? Yes, Bob Dunn.
Bob Dunn, that's right. Okay, awesome. So next Wednesday night, we're going to talk about coaching, training, WordPress. Is it easy? Is it not? The pain points users are struggling with on WordPress. I have a feeling right now that's going to be an awesome episode, so I can't wait for that. And Bob Dunn's a great guy himself, so really looking forward to that episode. And if you want to see show notes for this episode, you can go to wptavern.com. you can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on that website. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JeffrO0. And Marcus, yourself?
You can find me on Twitter at Marcus Couch and my website, MarcusCouch.com.
Fantastic. This is a great episode. Lewis was a great guest. I hope everybody out there checks out his website and maybe he gets a few new listeners and subscribers to his School of Greatness podcast. So until next week, have a safe and enjoyable weekend, everyone. Talk to you soon.